The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly behind the glass because Crack's about to join us. Congratulations to all. I shouldn't say congratulations because one of these girls could walk off the court. But right now, it's either we win or, you know, someone quits and we get a refund. So we are guaranteed over 21.5 in the Rybakina-Siniakova match. And again, for all host guests, every sport on this network, VSiN.com/picks for VSiN subscribers. Subscribing does pay. We get tweets of beating the book. Moneyline Marv, got to keep Gil away from those Orchids of Asia Bob Kraft joints. It was not one of those, I promise. Real Uniform Czar, did this neck strain happen after the move into the Circus Studios? Maybe it's because y'all are sitting on different sides than before. I'm not sure if that's science, Real Uniform Czar. Jamie Leva, the second Gil mentioned a masseuse, we all went there. Thank you for being you, Kelly. Have a great day, gentlemen. I knew I couldn't get past the first sentence without him saying something. And Larry Fresh adds, I love how openly you guys discuss workman's comp issues on air. I'm not a litigious person. Manny Davison, Fiji water was once described as thick by Bill Krakenberger. That's a great description. Matt Trudell, five-star realty, says, congrats, Kelly, on getting in shape. Keep up the good work. Gil, can you ask Crack how he feels about his Red Sox make the playoffs and Twins don't make the playoffs bets? I think he placed it in Florida at the Hard Rock. I tailed him on both. I will ask him here momentarily. And then B-Mart. I know the neck trap strain all too well. Get a foam roller and Theragun. Not magic beans, but definitely help. Thank you, B-Mart. Appreciate it. And without further ado, unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. Oh, yeah. What up?
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Someone could hit South Point right now if you want on Cincinnati, Cleveland, week one. They have the 46 there. Under. Under is the play.
Go.
Yeah, go. Well, Fez is the one who texted to me.
Yeah.
But 46 is still a play, so it'll be gone in a minute here. I'm sure someone will hit
market
it.
Is a little below that?
45.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, 45. Circus 44.5 here. South Point 46. They just opened. I'll let someone hit that.
Right. So listeners nationwide, get on a plane right now and get to the South Point.
Yeah. Week one. South Point, they take a bet, though. I like that. They take a bet and then move it. Like, that's the way you're supposed to do it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They really don't – I don't see them moving on air a lot anyway. They're last to move a lot. So I don't mean to jump right in with a play.
No, I love it. You got more plays?
No, I just – Fez sent that out a little bit ago, and I see the 46 on the screen in front of me. What's going on?
You were in a poker tournament.
Yeah,
Fez told us.
Played poker the last couple of days.
Yeah,
which is rare. I haven't played a regular poker tournament in 19 years, I think it was. And one of our sponsors on my podcast put John Orlando and I in a tournament, and it was just $1,000 tournament. And I lasted, though. You know, I lasted the entire day, first day, 13.5 hours. Wow, is that tough to do?
13.5 hours.
We started 10 in the morning and 11:30. Yeah, 11:35, I think it was. But
you know what? So we're sports bettors, as if we're doing something, you know, noble,
right?
Which we're not. But I have the nerve to walk by poker rooms in casinos, and I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that a little voice in my head looks at them and goes, "Ah, these poor souls."
Oh man.
I have that judgment.
You know, I don't want to be so judgmental because I'm tough on a lot of different things. And the poker community, and this is something now, I played the next day, another 4 hours. And the poker community, the recognition I got from different things, including our show.
Yeah.
I had some guys from the middle of America say, "Oh, man, you and Gil, I love that. Every week, we absolutely love that. I love that it's on YouTube," which I always fought you guys, but not you.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I watch it every week." So at least four people come up to me about our show here on Thursday, which is really nice. That's a
absolutely
little sample
nice.
of everyone else. Yeah. You must get that all the time. You're on 5 days a week. I mean, you must get it all the time.
Kelly and I typically, when we walk out here, there's somebody waiting for us.
Outside of here even.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let
me just say this. My line is that we're sportsbook famous, right? By the time we get to the buffet, usually not. But every once in a while, you know, in a random location on Earth, it will happen.
It's funny. Usually when I get to the buffet, people get very upset. So it's a different atmosphere.
No, what I mean about walking by the poker room, though, is
It's a tough life.
When I say it's a tough life.
Yeah.
Right. I sort of say it with a half respect, half, I can't do that. Those 13 hours you were there.
13 and a half and then four. And I'm still beat up from it. You know, you're playing one night, you're going to bed for 6 hours, you're getting back up and playing again. That's really tough.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why it's, I don't know how anyone over 50 can play a main event. I mean, I know they do, but.
Was this a 50 and over tournament?
Yeah, 15 over. 50.
15 over.
Barely qualified. I know why I don't play poker tournaments, though. Not just because of that. I'm not aggressive enough. And you know why? Because of this business, sports betting. Because I'm such a disciplined sports bettor. And bankroll management's part of my life every day. Never overbet. Never getting upset. Never overbetting. Lots of people in the poker business, in the poker industry, they get upset too when they lose sometimes, but not this older crowd. But you see fights every day in poker rooms. I mean, literally arguments and sometimes actual fights.
Fist fights.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, oh, man.
You know, you see them on, they're on Twitter. They're on, you know, and it's just not, it's not cool. But
what are we fighting about? What's the primary reason poker players fight each
other? Because when we're little kids, like I always said on the show before, we're playing checkers with our dad. We're Monopoly, the game of life, and we're used to winning. We don't like to be. We're sore losers in the end. It's embarrassing to lose. Some portion of people think, you know, it is what it is. I'm just saying the reason why I'm not aggressive enough. So I waited out the whole time, and I wanted to get in the money because I wanted to beat John because he's supposedly this poker pro that he thinks he is. So. Yeah.
Taking a shot at his podcast.
I take shots of him. Matter of fact, I gave him a line from Goodfellas yesterday. I said, you know, John, we put $500 each in. He won $16,000. We actually wound up with $14,000 profit on the tournament that he first entered. It was a real good value tournament where they had bounties, which I understood. And I said, you know, John, I'll go partners with you. Go ahead. He's been asking me for years. I never given him a dollar for that. So I give him $500. He cashes out. And he decides not to pay me anything. He's like, oh, no, we got to invest this. We got to reinvest it, like the honeymooners scene with Ed Norton and Ralph Graham. No, John, we got to get something back. He's like, no, we got to turn this into the main event. Like the poker player, the mindset of a poker player after they win some money. So now he plays a couple more tournaments. I said, John, go ahead. You want to play it? Go ahead. $7,000, whatever it is. Just go ahead. Fire it up. Maybe you'll get lucky. You know, I've lost more money on stupid thing, number of things in my life. So sure enough, he says, you know what we'll do? If we cash anything, we'll split that money. We'll get that. So sure enough, he loses $1,000 in the tournament, loses $500 in the tournament. Then he wins $2,400. I'm supposed to get $1,200. Next episode, go on live. I said, you want me to move some of these things out? You can put the money on the counter here. I'm live on air with him. He's like, I didn't bring it. I was like, well, he's stuttering. I said, you're like Spider-Man or Goodfellas. But yesterday I said, you know what? I've decided what you are. You're a sick human. I decided what you are. You're like Jimmy on Goodfellas, the De Niro character. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, in the end, when they robbed the Lotoms of money, he decided to kill all his partners instead of giving them money. I said, that's what you do. You don't want to give me no money. You want to kill everybody. You're hoping I'm dropping dead. He's dying laughing. He wants to put everything back. He's dying to get in the main event. It's just a sick mentality of poker player gamblers.
What percentage of you is joking? What percentage of you is mad at him?
50-50.
50-50.
Probably about 75% joking. But, John, you got to split up some money. You just said a new deal. You redid the deal. You said $2,400. Give me the $1,200. He's like, listen, if you need the money. I was like, no. That doesn't need the money. He's like, let's try to get in the main event. I said, go ahead, John. Go ahead. I'm soft like butter. I mean, I give in, but I'm not making fun of John. Anything I wouldn't say to his face.
Right.
It's just a poker player mentality. No. Let's take this money and reinvest it.
But it's the poker player mentality, but it's also the strain of I'm not being 100% forthcoming with you while all this is happening.
You know, he knows that I got a few bucks, so he's like, you don't need this.
Yeah.
You know, I hope in the end it's not a Jamie Gold situation. He wins like millions and says, I wasn't partners with him.
Right.
You know? But,
my only exposure to the culture is when you go to a sports book here in town, you don't have to go that many times when there's a poker tournament around. Let's say it's, by the way, at the Aria, it's happening right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to a sports book that many times while a poker tournament is happening adjacent to it, where one of the ticket writers, one of the sports book ticket writers, knowing you as a sports bettor, will look over at you and be like, oh, my God, these guys are the worst in terms of their how they're being treated, or they don't, or not even being
treated. I've heard this. I know
that
this.
they don't really understand the language of sports betting, and so they will have no problem holding up a line, let's say for 10 minutes.
Oh, I got you.
With the most basic questions and drive some of these guys crazy.
I thought you were going somewhere else with this. The tipping. A lot of Europeans. Oh, no, I was going to go there. No, so you're saying just not knowing the terminology of sports betting and coming up and saying, "Give me $50 in the cups."
Let's just say it this way: the sports book writers are not used to that. They're not used to that character.
Right. No, I'm being around, but it was an older crowd now. It was a very nice crowd. And like I said, it was a very respectful crowd. Everyone stood up when at the end they were asking how old people were. And then you had people, guys standing up that were over 70, over 80, over 90 years old.
Wow.
90-year-old guy there, Vince Bergio, who used to be a poker pro.
Over
90. He's still in, by the way. He's still in. And there's 200 people left out of almost 8,000. 90 years old. He's still in there. It was really cool to get him to, say, shuffle up and deal. But the prices of food, though, you know, I have to complain about something. Mm-hmm. Not only the poker rake, which they take out. And John's like, John, when he won 16-290, he gave him like $90. He, how much do you want to tip the dealers? My thing is, it advertises they take 3.6% out of the prize pool. So if you enter a $1,000 tournament, $36 from everyone's entry goes to the dealers and goes to the floor staff. Mm-hmm. That means you don't have to tip no more. They still ask you at the cage.
Of course they do.
They still ask you at the cage, how much do you want to tip the dealers?
Yeah, of course.
And John, like every like a lot of poker players, don't even know, how much do you want? Like you know.
People know where I stand on that.
I, me too. And I'm a tipper. We tip.
I'm sorry, what was that 3.6% for? Oh, yeah, you want additional money on top of that?
Yeah.
More with Crackman on the other side. I got to ask him about this text he sent me the other night, and we'll answer some of these tweets for. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're into futures wagering fantasy, or just like the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out xcutta.com. That's X-C-U-T-T-A, and it's basically the future of how we play. Think of it like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your auction, and invite your friends to play. You could even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book with your crew. Here's how you do it. Email support@xcutta.com. Mention VSiN, and they'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. Again, that's xcutta.com. X-C-U-T-T-A. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Wet Willie Cologne, who says, poker dealer at a prominent social card room. That's what he is. He's a poker dealer at a prominent social card room. Fights literally every day, he said.
Wow.
Most common is when someone with a subpar hand calls a big bet preflop and winds up stacking player with quality hand. He said, fight yesterday about English only at the table.
Wow. There you go. No, I'm there.
Only
there you
English
go.
Here. Let's fight.
I mean, of course it should be English only.
Oh, my God. You going to fight about it, though?
Well, no, not fight, but I mean, if you have people from different countries together at the same table, yes, it should be English only, especially.
I want to just, can we just talk about what just happened here? So you came on the air. Bill came on the air, our hour that we do every week here. And the very first thing you said is, hey, South Point has a 46 on the Bengals week one game.
Yes.
All right.
Gave it 10 minutes more.
You gave it 10 minutes before
minutes.
You hit it, right?
Yeah.
But you got it. You got, you know, there's a couple things that happened. One, you got questions about, hey, 44, should I play that?
Yeah, I got a text.
Yeah.
My buddy. We're putting you on blast. Sorry.
No. We're not saying his name.
No,
right
I'm
now.
Saying 44 and a half. I said, no, pass. You can't play that. No.
And the other one was, I got it, but they laid like 40
$1.40.
Cents. Yeah.
The other guy said, I'm going to lay $1.40.
People don't care about price, man.
No,
it's incredible.
You can't lay $1.40.
a mathematical discussion about that is of no interest to certain people.
I got an interview yesterday about something from an interview in the morning, and I told him that exactly what he was saying there. I said, listen, even my buddy, this is buddies of mine. I've been around me for 20 some years, this guy. You know, a couple guys text me during the break. And I got to tell you, it is surprising to me that still being around me, and I'm so price sensitive, and, you know, it shocks me. My buddies still, they just don't care about price. They'll just lay it. Like, you know, I don't care if you went. And now, not making fun of anyone on this particular bet. I'm referring to coming out NFL season. They always come out, or and they come out March Madness, come out NFL season. And no matter what. I said, what do you like? And I'm, it's Sunday. I said, well, everything's, you know, pretty, this is efficient here. I said, but if you want to, you should have a stations account. They have 7.5 where the whole world has 7 or the win has 7.5. I'm trying to explain that to them. And they still, like, I'm not doing that. I'm betting +7 right here. No, no, it's not a play then. It's not a play. Like, and by the way, they know nothing about, they don't follow any kind of bankroll management. They come out with a couple $1,000, they're betting 500 a game. If that goes, the old Barbary Coast Western Union. I mean, they just, them, no,
the old Barbary Coast Western Union.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. It's
send it to Veronica Rodriguez in Nicaragua. That's all, it was always. All something like that.
Yeah. Although, just the last thing was, before a break, I said food. So, two boiled hot dogs. I put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Two boiled hot dogs, wrapped up in tinfoil, and a can of soda, $30.
Where?
At the World Series. Yeah. South Point, they're $1.50 each, and they're better. I mean, yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, that's. It's amazing. And they're lined up during the breaks, during the thing. They're lined up 50 deep to get the hot dogs.
When you're hungry, you're hungry. $30. There it goes. Can I repeat a text exchange we had the other day?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. This is what?
It was Monday.
Monday. So this is after game five. After game five of the NBA Finals, which, of course, was a plinko game at the end, right? The Pacers had the ball at the end. And Ben Mathurin threw it away. I think Caruso stole it.
The last play, right?
And the last play, and OKC ends up covering the spread. And Bill sends me a text. I'll try to edit these. He said, just another NBA side. Just another night of plinko, you said. Blank whatever.
Should I read you can say it. I don't care.
Blank whatever the few blanks say.
Yeah.
Or idiots say. Then I respond. I go, well, it was total plinko tonight, the definition of it. And then you said the last game came down to the last shot, too. I think the books have a very good grasp on the line, needless to say. And I said, well, I said, though the last game should have never come down to the end. This one was all about it, though. I get it. And then you said, but it did.
But it did.
But it did, Gil.
You know, it's such an efficient line. And you know, I'm still going to stick by what I say. NBA sides for 99.9% of the audience, for the rats that actually, you know, sent my text or my show to our episode to the few guys that claim they beat it. By the way, I don't know if they beat it. They claim they beat it. I know one person that beat it. It was Harlebus Vulgaris, without a doubt, killed NBA first half, second half totals in general. Very, very few sides.
Right, but little something.
Aaron Redding, I know he won also.
Right, but what are the? I mean, some of this that bothers me on this though is none of us ever knows truly who's winning and who's losing at any given time, right? I mean, I want to emphasize this because I hear a lot of gambling hardos who think they have a grasp of who wins and who doesn't. Right. And oftentimes it comes down to who they're friends with and who they're not,
right?
And and you don't know if someone else is winning or not. And by the way, a lot of people have winning seasons, that sort of thing.
You can have a winning season any NFL sides, NBA sides. Yeah.
Right. I just want to point
when
that
the lines
out.
Come out. Yeah, yeah, sure. When the lines first come out, but you tell me you're betting day a game. I'm sorry, I'm not going to believe you.
Yeah, no, I think most people would agree with that. I think even the ones that are doing well are not betting
this season. I'm actually doing NFL games myself. I'm doing NFL sides because the last three seasons I've worked with a guy who, you know, I'm just sitting here watching him every, you know, last year he won 16.5 units, I think, after juice. It was 16.5 units. It may not sound like a lot, actually. It's a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll take, you know, a unit a week, a profit, almost a unit a week. But year before he won 24, the year before he won 19. So, and I know that from someone that was moving his games that he wins. So, he said, you know what he told me? He's like, I was just holding his stuff. And I was just sick and tired of it. Like, this is 3 years previous of that.
Yeah.
He said, I'm sick and tired of paying the guy every season. I said, I start betting his stuff. So now I'm, you know, betting his stuff. And
nice.
But then again, it's Sunday night when the line comes out and early Monday morning. So it's 6-7 days before the games are taking place. It's not Sunday, 10 minutes before the game. You know, I have a challenge on my Fox Sports radio show with Jeff Schwartz and Brian Noe. And it's, you know, five games against the spread right at game time when everyone else is lined up in every sports book in the world, lined up last minute, big portion of them get shut out. Why? They don't know who they want to bet.
Mm-hmm.
They're online saying, should I bet team A or team B? And they really don't. There's a portion of that line that doesn't know. That's why they're betting so late. And my challenge is five games against the spread And it's very, Jeff came real close. He actually, 2 seasons ago, he, you know, if you lay the juice, he was like even, which is, that's a miracle to be even. 5 games, you're talking about 80 games during the season. You know, maybe even more. But well, it was
like, let me ask you this question, because if, for those who are new to the show or newish listening and don't know Crack's sort of modus operandi, you are a guy who surrounds yourself in different sports with with some analytics guys or some just guys who do
sharpest
well.
Sharpest guys in the world. Sharpest guys. We're the sharpest syndicates in the world in my life.
What is the longest stretch of time that you have observed any one person doing well in one sport? In other words, what's the longest streak of years you've seen somebody beat a sport?
Michael Kent. Billy Walters' guy.
Michael Kent.
He passed away. Michael Kent with his program that was tested at Monmouth College in I think it's Long Branch, New Jersey. That was probably the longest streak was Michael Kent.
What are we talking, a decade?
Probably a little more.
Okay.
Yeah. That.
What's the?
They beat college football and college basketball in general. Billy's guys beat college football and college basketball. There could have been one or two more involved at later stages that were still beating college basketball.
Because I have a theory that even the best of us in certain sports will have a 3-year stretch of awesomeness, and then it won't quite, then a bump in the road inevitably happens. There.
Yeah, 3 years is probably it. It probably have to adjust and adapt a little bit differently. Doc Midland, who's still alive, he's like 95 years old, or Ivan Midland, he was the original guy. Out here. So this is back, you know, in the '70s. Great stories on this. I always tell anyone, just search the story of the Computer Group sports betting. Great. It's a great like 8-page story, but it explains a lot more of what I'm saying. The original Pinnacle owners were some of the movers, and Billy just came to town from Kentucky. Speaking of which, Billy Baxter and I yesterday had a great conversation. Billy was in the Hall of Fame here about Billy Walters was in his garage. He said he went bust. He had to stay in my back room of my house. That's unbelievable. He's like, you know, so don't get broke. That's an old poker saying. But yeah, Billy was in his garage, and then Billy Baxter told me a great story about Tony Spilotro threatening to cut Doyle Brunson's stomach.
Yeah.
You know, you tell that guy I got ice picks for him. I'm going to cut his stomach right up if he doesn't start giving me a piece of his urn. Yeah,
And
they tried to just shake down Billy Baxter and Billy Walters. Doyle Brunson.
It was an honor to meet Billy Walters last year. It was an honor to moderate the panel he was on at Bet Bash last year.
Nice.
Bet Bash coming up.
Yeah.
In August. More with Crackman. Bill Krakenberger at Bill Krakenman with a K. Wise Cracks, the name of the podcast with John Orlando. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to make smarter football bets this season? Start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook, with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You also get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics, and betting tools on VSiN.com. Don't miss this early bird deal. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger, everybody. Kind enough to join us each and every Thursday for the second hour for Unscripted with the Crackman. I was just asking you, we'll do the exchange again here on air. Have you ever had a massage cupping before? And you said?
One time, in about 20-some years ago. It was in North Jersey, and they put those cups on you and they turn them so they suck in the blood up to the top of your back. And I never did it again. It was that painful. I'm a wuss when it comes to, you know. Now, are you in pain now?
No, I mean, I'm. It's all sore.
Right.
But I have the same pain that I had before.
But I love massages, though. Absolutely.
But this was not pleasant.
My wife and I go to the same place every week. We go to.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. Usually once a week. It's very good for you. Man. It's good. It's really good for you.
DiMaggio used to say. He says I get a massage after every ball game.
Wow, after every game.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson used to have 5 or 6 a week. He's just in his home and yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Nice life.
Let's get on to something fun.
Yes.
So, do you know anything about this $1.5 million Baccarat scam?
I do not. cops hunting cheating ring.
Now, Gil, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to stick up for anyone. Like, why do we root for the bad guys? Do you do too?
Oh, of course.
Why? Why is that an internal thing? Because we know the casinos, not that they cheat, but they, yeah, there's been casinos that cheated. Yeah, of course. I mean,
we root to the bad guys to the point of, there was, I'll just tell a brief story. There was a old Redskin rookie of the year 1 year in the 70s, Mike Thomas. Okay. Was a rookie running back who gained, I want to say the number was 919 yards. Don't hold me to that, but somehow that number sticks in my head. But anyway, he ended up, after his career, working in Vegas casinos.
Right.
And he ended up stealing tons of money from a casino, and he was on the lam.
Wow.
And even the, I think Scotty Shetler told me this story. And he said, even, and it might be in Scotty's book, too. And he was like, all the casino, even those of us who he stole from, we were all rooting for Mike Thomas to get away.
Wow. Yeah. We were wise guys and we didn't know it.
We were wise guys and we didn't know it. And by the way, he is the sweetest man in the world.
I did a show with him.
Yes.
I finally got to meet him. I only met him once. Did a show with him. And I just wanted to let... when I'm with someone like that, I don't want to talk. I just want to hear stories. I want to listen. I want to learn and listen from them. And hear, I love old stories and stuff. So... this is an old scam, though. I can't believe people are still getting away with this. So what this group did, they take the cut card at Baccarat. They're cutting the deck. You know, you're given the deck to cut. And, you know, people do like this sometimes with the cut card. They fan to see where they want to cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this guy had the technique down where the corner of the card, this is, believe it or not, this is an old trick. The corner of the card scanned all the cards real quick. They're going so fast that moment the dealers didn't notice it. By the way, this is 10 casinos now. They've caught them doing after
scanning, making contact.
Now they went back and looked. These other casinos didn't even know it until they caught this group. They didn't even know what they were doing, how they were winning this kind of money. They only got caught with $1.5 million. This probably would. This is a giant, giant
million
money
or
maker.
Billion.
Oh, one million,
million. Million. Okay,
they
I was
got caught
say.
With $1.5 million. Yeah. So they when they scan the card. There's a tiny little camera on their person, on their arm, on their finger. There's, you know, you could have cameras this big now. And they're scanning and getting all the cards.
Wow.
Getting all the cards with the cut cards. They're holding this up. Cameras here. And they got all, now the guy in their earpiece or their whatever has all the cards and knows the sequence. And they're betting based on that card.
What a sophisticated operation that is.
Why do I got a roof for that?
Wow.
Sick. I was like, oh,
come
man.
On. You got to have mad respect for that. That's amazing.
Yeah, the first comment, good for them. I wish they hadn't been caught. The casinos cheat millions of people every day and cry when someone gets an advantage over their crooked ways. I mean, but yeah, split second recording. And I just thought it was pretty. And you know, that they finally got caught with $700,000 in cash at the, I don't know where this is even at, this casino. Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, which said that beat them out of $700,000. Like, you know, sometimes you're going to get too greedy too. You're not just going to win
you,
a little.
You are going to get too greedy. Know? But that's always what gets these guys, right? Is that you get too greedy. You weren't going to be happy with a few hundred thousand. You had to do this.
It really is.
But it's completely understandable, right? It's because everything has the house edge, right? You build these buildings, you do the casinos. You're building ATM machines. Yeah. Every square inch of a casino is an ATM machine, so to speak, right? It's all, they can analyze the money made. You know, what is there's like one window where you can say that window made us $2 million doing this
That's
year.
Right.
That window did. I mean, it's incredible, right? Not to mention each slot machine. So then you hear, so human beings are human beings. They're going to try to turn the tables. And of course, we're rooting for those people.
The CEO of the Venetian was on Fox Business talking about the renovating of 4,000 rooms. You know, the Venetian got a little bit old. The Adelsons didn't put a lot more money into it in the last years. Sheldon died. And so now they have this new food hall coming, which I can't wait to try. They have a pizza from New York City, the Lower East Side, called Scars, which I love Scars pizza. If it's 70% of that pizza in New York, it'll be like one of the best pizzas in this town. So we'll see. But anyway, CEO's on TV talking. And these guys, like, they're so book smart and college degree smart. But then he says, we always raise the prices if there's an opportunity. Never, ever. I think he regretted it right away when he said it. This is like book smart, having no street smarts, no common sense. How can you say something like that? It's such a deterrent, but maybe it's not a deterrent. Maybe because, again, as Gil, it's his saying, too close to the sun. Maybe I'm too close to the sun, but if you're home And if you're, I'm sorry, I think most people at home that gamble or just go to casino, they're sick and tired of hearing stuff like that. They don't want to hear we always raise the prices if there's an opportunity, especially any business. I think stockholders of the company, they don't want their CEO saying that. It just, I can't take it, you know. And speaking of which, so I was at my friend's this weekend. He has multiple pizza ovens. He finally found one. He spent like $8,000 on a pizza oven. That's how much of a wacko he is about pizza. He makes them great. And I put it on Twitter. Always put the pictures of the video on Twitter. So I asked him, I said, this is the best pizza in Vegas, without a doubt. I said, how much does it cost to make a pizza? He's, you know, regular sized pizzas.
Yeah.
What is the cost of a pizza? He said, he uses grande cheese, which I'm giving away some of the secrets, which is the best cheese back east, too. We all know that. So a little bit more expensive for the cheese, the dough, the consistency, the flours, mixes and stuff. He said, if I had to divide it up, it's no more than four, probably about $3. I was like, wait a minute. It's $3. And I call my cousin Anthony. Of course, Anthony. Why not?
Of course, your
cousin Anthony, yeah. Who I worked for. His mom and dad, my Aunt Caroline and Uncle Jimmy, who have since passed, on the Kingsburg Boardwalk. They still have the pizza place almost 60 years now. Great pizza. Unbelievable pizza. But I remember he used to put eggs in the dough, too. You know, so many eggs and stuff. I asked him, I said, how much does it cost to make a pizza? He said the same thing. He goes, probably around
$3.
I was like, wow, this is two different people that said that.
Mm-hmm.
So how can these places charge $60 for a pie in town? I mean, $60 they're charging for pizza in this town for a pizza. I don't know. I don't think it's everywhere, is it? I mean,
no.
What happened here? I just don't know what happened. How can you charge $8, $9, $10 a slice? And, you know, you charge $5 a slice. There is overhead. I understand rent and different things. But it was just something that I never realized the markup on pizza until over my friend's house that
night.
In
these strip casinos, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, in other words, if you're charging $80 for a steak or $70 for a steak, you're paying $30 for the steak. So, it's a 100% markup. Well, this is literally 1,000% markup on some of these, you know, whatever.
What's the name of the best pizza in town again? Say it again.
Well, it's not there yet. I'm going to try it. I think it just opened, actually. Scars from New York. It's over at the Venetian. And I'm going to go try it. I love trying. Pizza's it's just, listen, Portnoy did a review the other. I don't always agree with Portnoy when it comes to gambling stuff and stuff, things he gives out to kids. And, you know, I say kids, you know, under 30, and they're all those, they all follow him. Sheep to slaughter, I like to call it. But yeah. I like his pizza reviews, though.
Yeah,
you know, and he did one in Miami that, you know, Miami has upped their pizza. I knew that from the last couple times I went there, but he just gave out like almost a 9, which is ridiculous. But the pizza looked that good. They're lined up to get in, just walked in. I think that pizza is probably the number one of the number one profit things in the world, though. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was a markup like that was that crazy. But are you a pizza guy or not really?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Who isn't?
If there's one food in the world that you could eat over and over without any repercussions, what would that food be? Pizza was the answer for a lot of people.
We had one down. I lived near the same building. We had one downstairs there for a while in Aria at the food court. It changed, though. I haven't had it since. I heard it was not as good.
Oh, it's not as good. You mean right by the sports
book?
Oh, it used to be 510.
I thought it was really good.
Or 550. Whatever. It was so good.
Oh, I thought it was, we've never discussed that.
It's not good anymore. It's
unbelievable.
I shouldn't say that. It's not as good. It's money. It's called Moneyline now.
I thought it was really good.
It used to be phenomenal. By the way, Mike Thomas, exactly 919 yards in 1975. I couldn't remember that it was Thursday last week, but that somehow was stuck in my brain. Coming back with the Crack Man, and we'll recap all the bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let us recap the best bets given out on the show today. Every host, every guest, every show, every sport, all given out by... or I should say recap by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. I am on, in addition to the Tigers, 16-1 most wins in June. Added a baseball play today, Giants first five minus a half a run. That'll be one of my picks in the old Spanky contest. By the way, Spanky has his contest, Bill, 240 plays minimum before the All-Star break to qualify. So it's a lot of plays. Like, that's, you can't get lucky over 240. And after 90 games, there's over 220 people in this. After 90 bets, I was in seventh place.
Wow.
But you know what I knew the whole time? I'm like, there's way too many games left for me to sustain this. Yeah. So, of course, I fell back. I'm still like 60 something or right now. Anyway, I'm on the Giants first five minus a half a run. I'll have others in the contest, but Giants first five is the one I bet so far. Minus 125. Let's go Logan Webb. More importantly, let's go Giants offense. Back the dude. Bet Max Fried, AL Cy Young yesterday at plus 850 after our Tom Tango exercise. Bet Con Knepel, top five pick in the NBA draft next week at even money. Let's see. What do we got here? Those were mine. Next, Kelly Bydelon. Kelly made two NBA picks. Con Knepel, top five pick. And Kelly, what was the other one, by the way, that you made in my ear? No? Nobody? Okay. Well, we have Con Knepel, top five pick. But Kelly fired another one as well. Jensen Lewis came on the show today. And Major League Baseball, he is on the Giants minus one run at minus 123. Is that what he said? Or did he do minus one and a half for the game? We're showing minus one on the screen. He did minus one, minus 123. Rockies, Nats over 9.5 today. How about them Rockies? Nats are having a terrible month. Aaron Judge, 2+ total bases in the Yankees game today and doing another over in Sactown. Bay Area and back down. Astros Athletics, over 10 runs in Sacramento today. Then we heard from Zach Cohen. He is on the Pacers plus the points. Game 6, NBA Finals tonight. Will this be the end, or will the Pacers extend it to Game 7? He's on the Pacers plus the points. Tomorrow in tennis, he's on Alex Mickelson plus 1.5 sets against Daniil Medvedev. And he is on the Giants to win the National League. That's a bet I can get behind. He's not on the Giants to win the National League. That was somebody else's bet. That got taken off the screen quick. I think that was Will. That was my bet that I like for the Giants, but I haven't not made that yet, to be clear. Those are all brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. And just to let Kelly Bydelon know is that, you know, maybe I have to go back to tomorrow to read about GBank's trifecta. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank. First bet in VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. That's a Visa Signature credit card from GBank. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, first bet in VSIN. Head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Sweet Lou Finicaro, Gambaloo, he texted in. He said, total cost of a latte, 46 cents.
Wow. I just had one over there. Here's mine. $7.
46 cents. Talking about markups on things. We get tweets of being in the book. By the way, did you want to answer this one from earlier? Matt Trudell, who said, ask Bill how he feels about your Red Sox make the playoffs and Twins don't make the playoffs.
You know, it's funny. I haven't really sweat the bet. I knew Minnesota was on
it's baseball.
A heater.
Yeah.
But I understand why people would want to. It's a year-long bet. You can have fun rooting against a team or for a team every day. First time I looked in a while here, Red Sox 39-37, only a couple games out of first. It looks like, yeah, I like that still. Twins 36-37, just went 2-8 their last 10 games, including losing 6 in a row. Yeah, I like that. So and they're 10.5 out of four. Yeah, I do. I like both bets. And but again, I checked one other time at the beginning because someone asked me that question. And I just checked again. I, you know, just throw them in a safe deposit box and really don't look at them until the last week or so.
Yeah, baseball. It's long, man. It's a long season.
But however, I like people to bet season long wins because every weekend, well, that's football. But even every day, you have a sweat. Every day, if it makes you not bet something else and makes you not over bet your bankroll and you can watch throughout the whole season and root every day without a physical bet that day, then please, please bet them. You know, please bet, make those type of bets.
We get tweets of being in the book real quick, Bill. Stringfellow Hawk, I listened to Billy Walters' book. I would have died so many times had I lived his life. The Real Goat, 80-20er. It is very difficult to understand how Rutgers could have two of the top five NBA prospects and have such a crappy team last year. Didn't even make the NCAA tournament. Oh, yeah, we talked about that several times. Jason H11, ask Crack if the massage parlor he goes to is on Decatur.
No.
That's the one I went to.
No.
Let's see. How can I find Zachary Singleton? How can I find Zach Cohen talking NBA and tennis if I missed it live? As Kelly responded here, he says VSiN.com and the app always has replays for subscribers or podcasts will be up a bit after the show. You could do that for every show here on the network podcast form. And then J.D. Emmons has solved my neck strain problem. He says first Christmas tree moving up downstairs. This is my first year where I carried a Christmas tree up the stairs in San Francisco. He goes, neck injury a few months later. No more trees. You're welcome, he says to me.
Wow. Wait, you carried the tree?
I did, yes.
You celebrate Christmas?
No, this is the first time I've ever, right? Because I got
first time.
Deborah Song, fashion stylist, and Gracie, they were up there in San Francisco, and they always have a Christmas tree tradition. I had them in my apartment. And so I was like, all right, well, okay, we have the thing where we go in San Francisco to get the trees. I've always been part of that. But I've never had to, because it was not in my apartment, so I've never had to carry it upstairs. So I did this year, and I was like, what is all this sap all over me? Like, it was a brand new experience for me.
Usually carrying the Hanukkah bush, nothing happens. Yeah, you're right, but... Oh, God.
That's right.
Gil, so the governor of Jersey, Phil Murphy, he's getting a little bit of heat. He's worrying about these other casinos now that are going to probably open up in New York and around the you know, literally steps from New Jersey over the bridges and tunnels. So now he's open to the – and he's committed to keeping Atlantic City the gaming capital, but he's open to open other casinos now along the Jersey borders, like maybe close to Philly, close to New York – opening other casinos, which you would think would hurt Atlantic City anyway. But the reason why I bring this up, and I have this here, I mean, you won't believe this revenue. Call it a comeback. Atlantic City jumps 11% in May. These are, by the way, they're already breaking records, these casinos, all of them. And so it soared 11% this month, this year, to $265 million in revenue for May. But that's not the point of my story here. The point of my story is, what do you think the online portion, which is sports betting and the, is it called iGaming when they're betting on,
I guess, yeah.
Right, they're betting on, they're playing slots and blackjack and stuff online at night, which is the biggest form of closet gambling. You know, someone said something on Twitter that live betting is that's not closet gambling. Yes, you're on your app. Yes. No one sees it is. Yes, it is. So, but anyway,
to answer your question, exponentially more is going to be the answer.
It's on the online casino revenue for May. This is unbelievable. $246 million in profit in May.
Oh my
just
God.
Online.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
In one state.
You know, sports betting is only so much of that. So I think sports betting literally was only like 30 million of that or something. Over $200 million people in Jersey lost betting blackjack and craps on digital black. Listen, I'm sorry to say this. I am cynical. I am a true in my brain. I don't want to say can't trust. I know it's regulated and stuff, but what does that mean? Regulated? Do they have trouble regulating table games and slot machines in a casino? But I just can't trust a digital game where I press a button.
Never.
And like, there's people at home that are listening and people that play the casino on their local guys' apps.
Oh my God.
On their local guy.
So the local
bet, is the bet being taken place in your house? Is it in cyberspace or is it in Costa Rica? Now I have to trust it's legit. Give me a break. There's no, I can't trust it. Now, I will trust the live dealers. If I see a live dealer dealing blackjack, like I know like Golden Nugget in Atlantic City has live dealers that they have a live game. And I could trust that. And maybe if you have some kind of edges by counting cards or something. But as far as I just can't believe these numbers. This is unbelievable.
That's an outrageous number.
It's unbelievable. You tell me they're making $3 billion a year.
A quarter of a billion in a month in one
in a
state.
Month.
Yeah.
Loss.
Yeah.
I almost don't believe it, but I went to two different sites to verify it. That's sick. That people are, imagine if every state, I think only 6, 7 or maybe 8 states have this in the whole country. They have sports betting. But to see that, oh wow. The last thing, this is the new movie coming out with John Travolta. Big stars actually. John Travolta, Luke Haas, the girl, and it's Gina Gershon. It's called High Roller.
Gina Gershon.
Yeah.
Yes. Used to love her.
Yes. Yeah. Called High Roller. And it's getting terrible reviews. And the reason why, like, here's what we're seeing. So it's getting terrible reviews. How can you not have a consultant on that knows gambling?
None of these have consultants.
You have to know gambling a little more. Incredible. You know, just have a consultant on that knows the gaming business. But
like anyway. That Travolta decided to go without the hair file.
Yeah.
Billy, thank you as always.
All right.
At Bill Crackman with a K for Bill on Twitter. Money Moves with Stormy and JVT next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.